Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card here.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. Mick Sharkey is looking dashing today. Spring is in the air and he is dressed for success. How are you, Sharknado?
Oh, it's a big week, Michael. Big news today. Big news.
Oh, hello.
I was, we've been working through negotiations, but I was approached to be at lunch today, to appear at a lunch, and thankfully I was able to work through some things with you, and you gave me the all clear for that, and I was approached to go to lunch again tomorrow. So
you are
just like to thank you and the organisation for letting me go to lunch.
Sir Lunchalot.
2 days. Yeah.
Sir Lunchalot,
yeah.
You.
Got to work through a lot of things these days. No, I'm glad you've been able to help me out.
Is today's lunch work or pleasure?
Work, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it one of these ladies' luncheons?
No. Also, unfortunately, it's not.
You strut around on stage.
Yeah, no, it's the third wheel of a busy week. Perth, Warrnambool.
You've been spruiking your wares. Of course, we know your other day job. You've got fingers in many pies. Is
multiple
one
pies
working for
better than little
Spicer,
Jack Horner?
Thoroughbred.
Oh, no, he was Curds and Whey, was he?
And you've got some interesting horses. Have you got any new additions that we can talk about as yet, or are
yes,
they still under wraps?
We have a horse coming out. Not for the carnival, but he'll be here soon afterwards for the autumn carnival, called The King.
Wow.
It's a very good horse. Had lots of form around Rostropovich and the like last season, and form around Downdraft and Magical this season.
That's top form.
Yeah.
Who's going to train?
He'll go to Lindsay Smith.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lindsay Smith is becoming a very big name in training here in Victoria. Well, we'll talk more about Lindsay Smith and see whether he can get a Group 1 a little later. Overall, gee, it's a deep day, isn't it?
The
Kylie Deaver Stakes Day. You must be confident of tipping the card.
Or not so much the card. I think there are a few races we can have a good bet in, Michael, but I'm actually frothing about the prospect of going to the track tomorrow. Most of the good ones are back. We've seen them all now. There are a couple that have had a couple of hiccups along the way that maybe we have to wait till later in the spring to see now. But it is a sensational time of year. Who cares about the football? Let's get stuck into the racing.
Well, you're a North Melbourne supporter, so I could understand.
Well,
that,
Todd Goldstein signing on again. You know, it's a great result.
Barrack for good teams are still interested in the football.
Fantastic to have big Toddy going around again. It's a good result for North. So that's like a finals win for us, because we didn't have any other ruckman.
He's a very loyal man, Todd Goldstein.
Tommy Campbell would have been busy otherwise.
Oh, dearie, mate. Let's get stuck into it. Oh, we're going to talk about Rose Hill as well. It could be an interesting day for a number of runners. The run to the Rose is insane. We get to see Acadia Queen. We get to see Castle Vecchio. So we'll talk about that a little later as well. But Flemmo, we're going to have a chat to the track manager a little later on the program. Let's get stuck into the first race, which is an intriguing race. And it's one that we are going to need help from Liam Howley, Team Williams, because on face value, they pretty much hold the key to it. There's four Lloyd Williams and Nick Williams-owned runners in that race. Of those four, what order would you have them in?
I would have them King of Leagrants, Harrison, Douglas MacArthur, Exemplar. And two of the four are backing up too, which is interesting.
And King of Leagrants has been well backed. It's into $2.90. Doug is at $6.50, and Harrison's at $7. Exemplar's out to $7.50. It's a tricky race, isn't it?
It is tricky. I think Keelingrance is a horse that could probably...
Is it a cup hope?
Oh, I don't know about that, but he probably needs to win this if he's going to be worthwhile, a throw at the stumps in a race like the Bart Cummings or the like. He'd be the... On what we've seen, he's the pick, but there's a horse here called Caliburn.
I was going to ask you, tell us about
this
horse.
I'm really interested in. Well, all of his form, or much of it this season, ties in around the Ebor, which we think was a decent sort of renewal this year. He has form around a horse called King's Advice, which ran there. He's got form around Desert Skyline, which was placed in the Ebor. He beat that horse home in its last start. There are a few others there, Fugiera Prince, First 11. They've got good handicap form this season. He's been really competitive at a good standard. Last year, he was running up around Super Titus and Dancer Terrier. You know, they're pretty serious horses when they come here. I think he's really well placed in this race as an each-way bet, and I'm really keen to see what he can produce first up.
He's around about $7.50 in the market.
Good jump out, too, of late, I noticed.
Was it?
Yeah.
All right. So Caliburn, an each-way selection. Another Coldie gave example of Windburn. He won like a superstar last start. It's $11.
It was a really good ride, too, from Dean Yendall, because he used the horse's turn of foot and basically nicked off on them and used that acceleration to the horse's advantage. Exemplar is more of a momentum builder rather than a horse that can really drop a sharp sectional over a distance. So, yeah, Yendall exploited the speed there and got away with it. I think Exemplar was probably coming back fairly hard that last 150, and he'll be better in a genuine, you know, run race and probably over further. You know, you could see him winning a lesser cup, whether it's an Adelaide or a Sandown or something like that, over 3,200. He may still have some room to improve. He's only had a couple of runs in this time around. But, yeah, there's some form behind Exemplar as well, going back to its 2017 campaign.
All right, tricky start to the day. Each way Caliburn around 7.50 is the way Sharky's going to kick it off. Race number two. Gee, this is a good race. It's an intriguing race. The Captain Teebs, absolute flirt. Is at $5. Others in the market, we've got a really interesting runner from Tony Gollan's stable. Two interesting runners.
Yeah.
Vincia Valair, $9.50. You've got Form Around 10 Lee. Aetheri's about $8.50. She Shall Fly is a big price. Out to $41 now, first up. And then we go down to Sizzle Fly around about the $9 mark. But there are a lot of horses way up in the skies, well in the market at $5.50. A lot of these lightly raced, intriguing runners from Paris, Evening Slippers, and then even down to the likes of Splendor in the Grass. A lot of different form lines converging here.
Total and utter raffle. There's form lines coming from all over the place. Most of these fillies have got winning form or recent winning form around them. There's some link to stakes class horses through most of these fillies as well. So it's not a clear picture for me. I want to see how most of these go down the straight for the first time. That's another variable that you have to factor in. It's just wide open. It's a wide, wide open race. It's not a betting race for me. If I had to have a top pick, I'd probably give Sizzle Fly another look here. Just covered a bit of ground first up, and that was that windy day. It wouldn't have helped its cause in the Quizette. We've seen the Quizette form look, you know, fairly good to this point of the game. I thought from an outside gate, Johnny Allen up, she might be able to improve and go quite well. We've only seen her on top of the ground once, and she won her debut run by 8 lengths. Mm. So I'm thinking getting back onto a better surface and maybe with some room to move, a bit of a cover to finish off, she might run really well.
Well, we'll wait and see what the market does, but we're going to have a chat a little later to Liam O'Keefe. How do you think down the straight, will they be middle to outside? How do you think it'll play?
I think middle to outside seems to be where they want to be. Most of the meetings that we have at Flemington, particularly in the big fields, there's no disadvantage to be outside. So I'm looking those drawn out that might be the place to be again.
Race number three is the Antler Luggage Expert Plate, and we've got exciting, exciting news here at RSN 927. Antler Luggage has come on as a major sponsor of the Saturday Morning Outside broadcast.
Does that mean free product for us?
Sonny Roth, well,
I need a new suitcase.
It is the only way to travel with Antler Luggage. But RSN listeners, and you included, Sharky, even though you're a staff member, jump on the RSN website, rsn.net.au. 40% discount on any piece of Antler luggage. So, Sharky, for you to carry all your cash around, one of those little carry-on cases would be perfect for you.
I could do a handheld purse for the amount of money I've
discount
got at the moment.
Antler Luggage Expert Plate. We're going to have a chat to Sonny because I think you know Sonny Roth. He's part owner in Mustagir, part owner in Dancer Terrier. He's also got She Shall Fly. So he'll be on our live broadcast tomorrow from Flemington, and we'll also be giving away Antler Luggage over the next couple of weeks here for all the listeners as well. So stay tuned. Speaking of this race, this is another deep, tough race.
Just distracted. I'm looking at discounted.
You can purchase after Friday form focus.
Yes, that's a good idea. You know how easily I'm distracted,
Let's
Michael.
Let's get stuck into it. Missile Mantra has been very well backed here from the Snowden stable into $4.60.
Mm-hmm.
Scottish Dancer was phenomenal on debut. This is a mega jump in class. It's been $9 into $5.50. Tenley's $5.50. La Tenze $8 as well. First of all, Scottish Dancer, is it the real deal? Would you be happy to take $5.50 jumping up from the maiden win to Saturday's race?
It's a horse
what is
that
it, listed.
Appears to have good ability, but I think there are more talented horses at better prices here, Michael. I don't be needing to back a Benella maiden winner in this race. I think there are a couple here that are... It is. It's madness, in my view. Early market plunges. Leave me out of that. Race 3 at Flemington. I think number 2, Independent Road, is a stakes class horse. And I'd be more than happy to take 19 or 21 or whatever the heck he is. What was he yesterday? I looked before the scratchings. Anyway, he's into $19 now. I think that's a great each-way bet for a very,
didn't
very
have any luck
good
last
horse.
Start.
None whatsoever. Moonee Valley is not his track. Flemington is. I'll sort of give him some sort of fluky chance if he heads towards the Guineas, but I think he'll probably more likely go a Derby path. Forget he went around at the Valley. He didn't really get a clear run at him at any time and was still going to the line strongly. He can run really well, and I'll be happy to back him each way. The other horse that interests me is Vegas Knight.
Yes, we're going to have a chat to Colin Little.
Yeah, number 7. He was great in a bit of a sprint home at Flemington from a mid-gate. He was shuffled back early and got a long way out of his ground, picked up really well late, and was great there that last 200. Liked the run a lot. I think at odds, that pair will do me.
What about the favourite, Missile Mantra? Got home well late in the McNeil?
Yeah. Damien Lane just wanted to give the horse some room. And you know, that were the instructions from the Snowden team. So I did see that the stewards had a bit of a chat to him about the ride last time. But again, he was riding to instructions. So what more can he do? She just got into an awkward spot. She finished well late. I know she was winning over 11 and 1,200 earlier in the year, but she looks like a horse that's going to get a mile and probably a little bit further. She just gets back and keeps finding that line. She'll be thereabouts and will be in the finish, you would think.
What do you do with Tenley? We know the form and the ability she's got as a two-year-old. First up in the Silver Shadow, I think she just got outsped.
Yeah.
Where does she fit in?
I need to see her come back and race to the best of her form. I don't think she was really suited on wet tracks at her last two in the Slipper and the Sires. But then she's gone to the paddock on a couple of flat runs. And I think I say it most weeks, I like to see them go to the paddock on a good note. If they come back off a couple of ordinary runs and run an ordinary race or a little below expectations, I just always take a cautious approach with these horses. She might come out and blow them away. We know she's a class act. She's got some good form lines. She beat Exhilarates as a two-year-old in the Rising. So, look, I'm happy to have a look at her tomorrow. If she beats me, so be it.
One horse I'm interested in is Shotmaker. Mick Price has obviously got a huge rap on this colt. He keeps throwing him in the deep end. I didn't think he was too bad first up. Looks like 1,400 would suit better. Do you give him any hope?
Yeah, another one that was disappointing first up, given the reputation that he has got. And I thought his jump outs were and his trials were a lot more encouraging than what he produced in the McNeil. He's another one that I need to see a bit better from.
Now, you've got a little interest in Snap Dancer. Another
good
one is
filly.
Making a big jump up in class. Can she measure up?
It's a real test for her coming out of a Ballarat synthetic maiden, but we think she's got stakes class ability. Whether it's in this race and it happens all at once for her, I'm not sure, but she's got good speed. What she can do is sustain an effort, as Linda Meach showed on her last time. She set her a task. She didn't go slowly in front, and the horse was able to kick and keep going and maintain a really strong gallop to the line. I thought it was a great win, and the form around Sassy Salatage before that has stood up to stakes grade. So she'll be good at 1,600 metres. Where she ends up this prep, I'm not sure, but in time I think she'll be a stakes class filly.
All right, so she's $26 into 17. Is there some stable confidence?
I think that's probably due to some of the scratchings. Rocca Bascarina was in the market and came out, and yeah, I think that's changing things up a little bit.
Quick question for you, back to the first race. Michael Brisbane wants to know, why have you got King, as in King of Leogrance, in front of Exemplar?
I think King of Leogrance is going a little bit better.
Well, it's a simple answer.
He hit the line really well in two races that really didn't suit him and found the line strongly. I thought last week it was the run of a horse looking for 2,500 metres, and he gets that now.
Race number four is a Sofitel. This is over 1,400 metres. Rocks the Castle is the favourite off a really good run last 3:10. Tarwin had Mick Kent in here during the week. Gee, it was fascinating to have in for an hour and to pick his brain. And he said Tarwin's one of the more promising horses in the stable at this stage. It's a $7 chance first up. Chestar, $7.50. This is another deep race here. Vacillator. We're going to have a chat to Colin Little in a moment. I'm keen to pick his brain on Vacillator. I thought he was really good first up.
One thing you could never accuse Mick Kent of, and that is sitting on the fence. He's
forthright
with his views, isn't he?
We love an opinion.
And the good thing about it is he thinks them out before he goes with them too. So he's very, very good listening. The speed map is all important here. It looks initially like Rocks the Castle comes across from his wide gate as he likes and probably goes along and leads or sits off Chestar. But how quickly does Chestar want to go? They held it up a little bit there last time. In its trials and jump outs, it had gone along a lot quicker than that. I'm not sure what they do here. That little uncertainty probably pulls me up on having a bet in this race. I've liked the way Vacillator was trialing and jumping out prior to his two runs this time round. I thought the Regal Roller run, 1,200 is not his go. He was better at Caulfield last time behind Age of Chivalry. And I think that form race is going to be a pretty good reference point for races like this during the spring. So Jamie Carr, good gate. I think Vacillator is another good each-way chance there tomorrow. And Con Little's about to join us and tell us just how good a chance he might be.
Absolutely. Before we get to that, an SMS romancer and the form around him has kept my tab account afloat for months. Stick with him. It's a gift. We're getting $10. That's from John in Horsham. What chance romancer in your mind tomorrow?
He's in the game again. He's looked after at the handicap because the horses like Kawhi going up in the weights and holding top weight. So you get looked after at the handicap again with Romancer. I would not talk you out of backing him again. He beat Goldfields, who came out and won last week. So there's lots of form around Romancer.
All right. Interesting race indeed. And we do have a trainer who knows about good horses. Of course, trains El Segundo and Vacillator to run second in a Caulfield Guineas. Is he going just as well after his first up run? Let's find out from Colin Little. Good morning, Cole.
Good morning.
How is Vacillator going? Gee, I was impressed with his second up run it was at Caulfield last start.
Yeah, he's going well. Had a really long spell and he's taken a couple of runs. His first run, you know, obviously a bit short. And I thought he still needed the run second up. But 1,400 metres, more to his liking. I thought he was quite good. And we're hoping there's a little bit more improvement in him tomorrow and again when he gets to 1,600.
And Colin, Flemington is the track where both of his wins have been recorded. That's got to give you some bit more confidence as well going into tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I'm really happy with the horse. He's going really well. Every run will be an improvement on his previous run for probably three or four runs, I think. Started off pretty big and robust, and he's just gradually trimming up. His coat's starting to look a little bit better, and I feel he's, you know, improving every run.
Is that why you decided to stay at the 1,400 again, Colin?
That was the way we went into the Caulfield Guineas. He had two 14s. We knew he'd get 16 on his ear. He'd never been 16, but we knew he'd get 16. It just suits me to go to the 14 2 weeks between runs. And, you know, he could go to a 16, but I just wanted to... I didn't want to wait another week.
What's his grand final, Colin?
Oh, look, maybe the Toorak. You know, handicap. We'll see how we go. But there's a lot of racing. He's been tipped out for 3 or 4 months. So he's got the whole of spring in front of him. In the short term, it'd be, I think, the Toorak, and then we'd see how it go, with, you know, somewhere the other side of the river.
We go back a race to the third. Vegas Knight goes around there. Pakenham Synthetic maiden win was really good, and then he was the one that had the red light on his head going to the line at Flemington last time. How's he come on since that?
Well, this horse has astounded me. I've always had a big opinion of him, but we found ourselves middle of winter trying to win a maiden. He had no luck when he ran third at Pakenham, and then we he tended to do a little bit of a vacillator and over race and get his head up, and you know, that's why he didn't win his previous start. So he just said, bugger this, we'll go to the front. And he led all the way, led by two or three, but won by six. And it was no fault of Teo's that he just got knocked down at Flemington and found himself back last, which, end of the day, was not the end of the world because it did teach him to settle. He relaxed pretty well. But, you know, once he got clear air, he was pretty impressive. But he'd been all through winter. He's actually been in work 26 weeks, which to me is that, yeah, that's too long. But we just gave him a week in the paddock just to see if we could put our toe in the water for a little bit of the spring. And he's just thrived. He's just amazed me how well he's going. I trialled him here at Caulfield on Tuesday in the first trial, and he got back last and powered to the line in an 800-metre trial. So we're pretty confident he can go a bit further into spring, even though he's one of the few horses that can go through winter and keep going. But he just loves life in stables. And, you know, he's a nice horse, and every run he's found lengths every time he's gone round. So he's a pretty impressive horse, Hong Konger on him.
Oh, but, what kind of figures are being bandied about?
just big ones.
Well, he's drawn barrier three, so where do you think
he'll
be?
Not ideal.
Not ideal?
Yeah, not ideal. He probably needs a little bit of clear air. He just can't quicken. He can really get home, but he just can't really quicken off the spot. So it's not ideal. Flemington is an ideal track for him, but he probably needs to get out and get clear air. That's the dilemma I have.
Well, if he gets that luck, it sounds like at $18, you think he's a pretty good chance.
I think he's a pretty good horse. So, you know, good horses overcome everything, don't they? But he is a staying horse, you know. He'd eat a mile, and I think he'll get 2,000 metres if he just puts his head down and relaxes. So, you know, it's a minimum distance for him. He'd be better off over 16 and even further, I believe.
Well, we'll be looking for him tomorrow along with Vacillator as well. Best of luck, Cole.
Thanks very much.
Gee, he's a pretty reserved character, Colin Edel. That's as good a push as you'll hear.
Yeah, it's a nice young horse. And that's the issue with that Exford Plate is I think most of the connections with horses in that race will have some opinion of them and be of the belief they could be stakes class. So, yeah, they get to test their wares against each other tomorrow. Vacillator, I think, He's one that, as Colin said, will just continue to improve, and I'm expecting good improvement from him third up tomorrow.
So the Sofitel, it's a story of the day. These are open,
wide
tough
open
races. Yeah. Which way are you leaning?
Look, probably Vacillator with those couple of runs under his belt as a little each-way option. Keen to see what Tarwin can do. Off-season, three-year-old form. He gets to test it against some good, solid handicappers in this race tomorrow. I think he'll measure up. I'd just like to see some positivity in the race day market about him to give you a bit more confidence.
Do you think we'll see an improvement from Antar?
Possibly, yeah. He's been a little bit off what he can produce in his two runs this time around. He was only two lengths from the winner there last start, but he's not hitting the line with the same sort of enthusiasm that he was when we saw him in the autumn, summer and autumn.
And Roxa Castle needs to step up for midweek, but did beat Jumbo last start.
The map just works in his favour tomorrow. I think that's why the market's found him so tight, is he's going to get a good run going forward and leading and or sitting off Chester. And, you know, 1,400 metres, he's pretty faultless at that trip. He'll just kick and be right there again. He's hard to beat, no doubt.
No doubt. One of the most intriguing races of the day is race number five, which is the Danehill. Gee, we've got some form here. Darla Sun's the favourite at $2.80, who last up beat the Group 1 winner, Scales of Justice. Super Seth, huge boom on Super Seth, and it was a great return win. Sebricate had no luck in that race. Super Seth, $3.50. Sebricate, $7.50. $8 Dubious, maybe a touch disappointing. Express Pass, big step up in class, but has looked really good. And then we've got this Kiwi, who I want you to tell me about, Sharky, because your deal has got really good form over the ditch. Can it measure up?
I think he can. His jump outs haven't been brilliant, but he might be a race day horse. I think we're judging him on jump out form rather than on his race form, which is very good. He's got a powerful finish on him and a good turn of foot like most of the Dundeels do, and the sharper Dundeels as well. So he is in the game here. Don't you worry about that. I think he could be the forgotten horse in the race.
He's $14. Would you be happy to take $2.80 Dallas and we've missed the $4. I've been up $4 and we must mention there'll be deductions because Liar has been scratched. I'm not sure why. We spoke to Sam Freeman yesterday and he didn't give any indication. So hopefully everything's all right with Liar, but she has come out of the Dane Hill. $2.80's tight, but gee, that form looks very enticing.
Well, he beat Scales of Justice, which then won a Group 1, but he did get 6.5 kilos off Scales of Justice, and Scales of Justice was 3 wide on the speed and probably soft as butter that last little bit. You know, I think, yeah, he beat him, but he had every opportunity to in the run. I wouldn't be taking $2.80 here. Nice colt, don't get me wrong, but I think there are better form reference or better value here in this race for us to try. It's a tough race, but look, I'd be inclined, and I'd work around Super Seth too, to be honest.
Why don't you like Super Seth?
Well, I don't not like him. I just think Sebra Kate was, if it had got out, may well have beaten him last time.
He was pretty soft on the line though, wasn't he?
Well, maybe, but Sebra Kate wasn't exactly
didn't have
clear air.
Didn't get any air.
Strasbourg's tried well. Your Deal's a good horse. I keep coming back to that New Zealand form. It just looks good. He's winning by wide margins. I think there might be something about this fella. At four, is he $14 or $16? I think that's over the odds, given what he's shown in New Zealand. I'd rather have a little 1x2 each way bet on that horse than try and flop into Dallasan after the fact at $2.80.
What do you do with Dubious?
You can have Jury Dubious. I didn't see enough from him in the Vane Stakes. I thought his trial beforehand, although he won, was just fair. I need to see him bounce back to his best. Maybe the blinkers are the key. That might spark him up and bring him right back to his best two-year-old form.
Super Seth Darlison high up in the markets. I think Darlison's actually the favourite for a Caulfield Guineas. How do you think these Victorian/South Australian three-year-olds rate against those in Sydney?
What are they doing with Exceedance?
I think it's going to the Golden.
And then is it coming here?
I don't know. It might be a freshen up for the Coolmore.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, yes, yes is trying to get in the Everest. It's not a Guineas horse.
Well, it depends what
Prince
comes
Farwaz
out.
Is going to the Guineas.
Yeah. I want to see how that horse returns. I think Sydney's probably got Castle the Becky measure of the Victorians this year.
Mm.
Yeah, I think Golden Rose form line, as it usually is, if you get the a few good colts going to that Golden Rose, that form line can usually stand up over the Victorian form line. I think it's shaping that way again this year.
It looks it, doesn't it? All right, that's the first 5 races down at headquarters. When we come back, we'll be looking at the quaddy and we'll also look at Rose Hill Friday Form Focus with the Shark.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. We're up to the first leg of the quaddy, which is the Let's Elope Stakes. Now, before we get there, this is a very important day for you tomorrow because
is
you
it?
Need to win cash.
Do I?
Because you need to expand your wardrobe. RSN's own fashionista, Gareth Hall, has just stuck his head in and said, have you heard that Sharky's doing it a bit tough in the wardrobe department? And now that I look at your shirt, it looks a little bit small, maybe a little bit dated, but yeah. You've lost half your clothes. What's happened?
Well, I think that Marie Kondo's got a lot to answer for.
My wife has started that too.
Yeah,
have to roll everything to put into the drawers now.
Don't leave the house while she's on the Marie Kondo train. I've been interstate and away for 4 of the 5 days this week, and I came home and literally 70% of my clothes are gone. 70% of them gone. And not just, where have you put them? They're gone. They've been removed from Casa del Sharkos.
Now, hang on. This isn't just the first step to get you out of the house, is it?
Well,
we're
I'm
not
starting
on the nature strip.
I'm starting to wonder if that's the case. But no, as I said in the break, our house looks like a cross between a Frida Kahlo art installation.
So you've got no clothes. You've got 3 shirts to live by.
Yeah.
And she's picked that one.
I know.
It's a tough life for the Sharknado. If you get to see Sharky at the races, he's got 3 shirts, and hopefully he's not wearing this one.
Be going to the shops before I go to the races tomorrow.
You need to
dress like a homeless person.
You need to. Matty Stewart might be able to help you out. You need to find
the
quaddy tomorrow. Can we trim down this first leg?
Yes.
The Let's Elope Stakes.
We can.
It looks like a tough quaddie.
No, it's not.
Geez, I'd love to see Fidelia win for Robbie Griffiths. And it was a very, very nice run first up. My pendant's flying for Warren Huntley, $4.40. Fundamentalist, what have you made of its runs this time in at $5.50?
What, you know Warren Huntley's voicemail now? It's just the sound of a money counter in the background. It's that's before it lines up. He's calling himself Diamond Warren Huntley.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? How people change when they have a bit of success. And
he's got he wears chains, gold chains now.
I thought the gold chain with the diamond-encrusted horseshoe around the neck, I thought that was a bit of overkill. And he's got a stoop now because of it, the weight, the sheer weight. The carrot weight is just around that neck. It's going to create an issue for him long term, but I don't think he really cares at the moment. My pennant's flying. Fidelia, for me, that's the one. The words of Robbie Griffiths from earlier this year, I think it was around May, he might have said on this program, this very program, what's the long-term goal? Let's elope stakes.
Gee, you've got a good memory.
Everything has been built around this, I get the feeling. And the Cochrane run was the ideal little bridge.
It was nice, wasn't it?
It was just a great run. This is the target for her. Robbie's told us that. I think he's reiterated it before, that Cochrane run. It's the right race for her. Flemington 1400 metres. I don't mind that there's not a massive amount of pace.
I was going to say, how does it set up? What's the map look like?
I don't think it's a big issue because she was able to overcome that on a few occasions during the autumn, sitting back in races where they, you know, dropped anchor mid-race. She can tag up behind them. Jai McNeil knows the mare really well. He won't be silly sitting out the back waiting for the sprint home. He'll look for a back to get onto. If she is within striking distance at the top of the straight, Fidelia has a fantastic late sprint on her, and she can sustain it through the line at 1,400 metres. I think she's a great bet tomorrow. Hope she wins.
Well, I would love to see her win too. She's into $3.60. She's been
She? What? Stink.
Opened up...
$3.60?
Opened up $6.50, now into $3.60.
What's wrong with people? So it'll get back to $4 tomorrow in this field.
I've got a little bit of a crush on Music Bay. It's out to $13. I didn't mind her run at Caulfield last start. Drawn 8, 1400 Flemington. I think she's a really nice chance of $13.
Yes, she goes in the quaddie.
Princess Jenny first up?
No, actually, I'll leave her out of the quaddie. Oh. I'll be brave with Music Bay. Princess Jenny first up. No, let's have a look at her with the 59.
I've got an interesting SMS which has come through here saying... No,
they're only interesting. They're either abusive in my direction or interesting.
I've been disappointed today. There haven't been enough abusive text messages from
Mick Sharkey.
0416905052. Camel is a great bet here at Flemington. People dismiss her second first up, but she's only going to be better at 1,400 metres. That's from Nick Evans. Camel, $81.
Yep. She's 72 Raider.
She's good behind my pendant.
She was fine. She was good. Yeah. Good luck, Nick Evans. I hope she runs well for you, but she will not be getting any of mine.
All right. Well, give us your numbers in the quaddie. You've dismissed poor old Nick. What are you putting
in? I'm not dismissed. Respectfully dismissed. I'd never do it in a rude manner. Spanish Whisper is going in the quaddie, number 2. Number 6, Fundamentalist, is going in the quaddie. Number 7, My Pendant, is going in. And number 9, Fidelia.
2, 6, 7, 9.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
You've left out mine, which I'm surprised about. Music.
Well, are you really surprised about it? Generally, we do this dog and pony show every week where you say, what about this one?
And I say, nope.
And that one tends to be the winner.
The clear margin is in my favour. All right. 2, 6, 7, and 9 in the first leg. The Let's Elope Stakes. Now, this is the feature, the Maccabi Diva. For mine, it's a one-out job. Mystic Journey's the best horse in Australia. She will win.
Come on now.
And she will win easily. $2.15. Scars of Justice, he's a very good horse, but I don't think he's as good as Mystic Journey, $5. Yucatan's intriguing, $9.
Best horse in Australia.
Hartnell. I can't believe Hartnell is $13. I think Hartnell's almost as good a bet to run a hole as what Mystic Journey is to win, and you're getting $3.30 the place. Kingswell Dream, $17. All right, you can be on the negative. I'm on the affirmative because you always dismiss these good horses.
I don't dismiss. She's a good horse. She's not unbeatable. Just because Winx used to run around and was very good and was a mare that won lots of races.
She's going for 8 straight.
Just because Mystic Journey's putting a few together doesn't make her
Winx. I'm not saying she's Winx.
She's not indestructible.
But she doesn't need to beat a Winx.
No, she's got to beat Hartnell, which is a very, very good horse.
Very
good
horse.
She's got to beat Scars of Justice,
which will
probably lead and control the speed.
A good horse, but not a superstar.
He doesn't have to be. He is a genuine, tough, wait-for-age horse. that excels at a mile. He's going to be very hard to beat, as will Hartnell, as will Kingswood Dream.
You are in the Kingswood Dream camp. Mm. How tuned up is he, and what do you expect? He started favourite in this race last year, and he let us all down.
He's not, well, in hindsight, he's probably just running around there, wasn't he? But look, no, he was good in that race last year. Again, he was not. It wasn't a race that he probably could have won when you looked at the map and the way he was going to be ridden in the race. He ran really well. The Turnbull run following that was excellent. And then, of course, he missed the start in the Caulfield Cup and it all kind of went downhill from there. He was great, first up in the Winx Stakes. When he was back, held up, checked out of a run by an eventual place getter and then hit the line really, really hard, he'll be better again for that. My only concern with Kingswood Dream is that he's second up off a long break and they can occasionally just be that little bit flat second up off a long break. He's going in the quaddie because I think he's good enough to win.
What about Galo Shop? Been trialling really well.
Mate, his trials have been rude. I think this horse has come back really, really well, Galo Shop. And I nearly put him in the quaddie. Nearly. He is a Group 1 wait for age horse.
He's $50. He's $51.
Okay, he's going in the quaddie because that is ridiculous. That is officially ridiculous. I've probably gone a little bit heavy in the quaddie now with five horses, but
Rostropovich,
I think we can get a result.
Yucatan, Rostropovich, first up.
They will both run well with a view to longer races.
Okay. All right.
Rostropovich, gelding him was the best thing they could have done.
Well, he looked awesome in his trial as well.
Yeah, he didn't beat a hell of a lot in that trial, it must be said, but the way he's travelling in those trials on jump outs, I think this horse has got his mind wholly and solely on racing.
Brian from St. Norman says Mystic Journey should run the Kennedy Mile instead of the Cox Plate. Well,
running the Golden Eagle. There's $7 million there. Well, I've been saying it all along.
Running the Cox Plate. What are you talking about? She'll win the Cox Plate.
Will she?
Absolutely.
You're going to beat Lee Grosjeau, is she?
Well, that's the only... I don't think anything locally can beat her. The internationals are the only question mark.
Well, you've still got a few of them to beat. There's not many internationals in the Golden Eagle. Anyway.
Who wins the Maccabi?
Look, probably Mystic Journey, but I'm not backing her. I'd back Scales of Justice each way.
You back Scales of Justice each way?
Yep.
He's $1.85 the place. You can have $2.15 the win.
Yeah, max.
Okay.
I'd go 2x4, Scales of Justice.
All right. So Scales to beat Mystic Journey. Numbers for the quaddie.
Well, again, I've thrown gap. You've talked me into Galo Chop. 1, 2, 4, 7, 13. I've
gone. 1, 2, 4, 7, and 13.
But of course,
Hartnell, Galo Shop.
Before you text in all the banana pants out there and the mango trousers that want to text abuse in, you can go skinnier than that if you like. You can trim it up around Mystic Journey.
All right.
I'm just throwing in
Scales
some value.
Of Justice. The 7, Kingswood Dream, and the 13, Mystic Journey, finally.
Let me remind you, it's a Friday.
Okay.
The quaddie doesn't start till 3 o'clock Saturday.
You keep putting these little caveats on just to...
Well, don't take quaddies at Friday mornings, Michael.
It's clear from your results. Race number 8 is the Bobby Lewis quality.
Making it up on the fly.
Demerara, $5. $7, Malibu Style. Usain Bolt, $8. $8, Zutori. Gee, I was really buoyed by the confidence of Neville Parnham with Malibu Style. Race looks to map perfectly.
Yes.
Drawn out in 13. Why won't it win again?
Well, why won't it? It's going really, really well. The Ori Star run was great. Sosie Bond's gone to run well since that. The Monash form around Oak Door, which we were a little bit dicey about at the time, is standing up. Oak Door keeps running well at stakes grade. So there's lots of form around Malibu Style. Dothraki won this race a couple of years ago, I think, off the top of my head. He wasn't bad. First up in Sydney. Carries enough weight, but at least we know he goes well enough down the straight. Usain Bowler, I think, is the forgotten horse. Oh, what?
Got an SMS coming through here. I'm getting in before Shark. This is the best bet of the day. Usain Bowler drops 3 kilos. Flemington
great
suits.
Minds.
That's
who,
from
who
your mate
that?
Michael in Brisbane.
Michael from Brisbane. Michael from Brisbane is a good judge. I know he likes to keep me honest and just throw a few little Barbie barbs here and there, but he understands the game. Usain Bowler down the straight is a very good horse. Newmarket run times were very good for basically a restricted handicapper. He ran around as a 78 rater in the Newmarket and recorded some of the best splits in that race. If you go back to that win, fresh down the straight, a preparational two ago when he beat Mastering and just opened that field up, I think that's the best of Usain Bowler down the straight. First up at 1,000. That was just too short for him. Again, times are still good. He found the line well enough. Been to Moonee Valley since then. It was too close last time. I think he was ridden for the pattern of the race rather than to suit Usain Bowler. He likes to get back, settle and finish off. He was midfield there and asked to just keep tagging up in a race that Tavasan always looked like controlling. So I think back with a quiet, calm ride down the straight, 53 on his back, I think he's a great each-way bet at $8. Another one around that mark tomorrow.
How many do we put in this leg of the quaddie?
We're throwing a few in because I think it's very open. We're going to throw 1, 2, 3, 5, 11 and 14.
1, Dothraki. 2, Malibu Style. Tick, tick. 3, Shahitzi.
Yeah.
I do like Shahitzi.
Leads and keeps running every start.
The 5, Streets of Avalon.
Yes. Good first up. Very good first up.
Streets of Avalon's price is $17.
Yeah, it's a group. Remember, it's a dual stakes winner now off the back of its last prep. I know it goes better at 1,400, arguably, but it was a really good return. He's an underrated horse in the market every time he goes around.
And the 14, you're putting in the your number one selection, Usain Bolt. Leaving out Zatori?
Leaving out Zatori.
Leaving out Demerara.
No, Demerara goes in.
Oh, you put Demerara in. Mm. Okay, the 11 and the 14.
Mm.
All right, that is the third leg of the quaddie, what looks a tricky, tricky race. And the last race is the Vale Russell Cameron. Tough day for a lot of people,
sad news,
especially at Flemington.
Good fella.
Ripper fella. Funeral next Thursday, 2 o'clock in the Mounting Yard at Flemington.
That's
talk
fitting,
more about
isn't it?
That next week as well. Who wins the last? Captain Cook, $4.40. Mosh Music, $5.50. Lure Me In, $5.50. It's a tricky end to the quaddie here. Which way are you going?
A race full of stayers, either first or second up. At least we've seen Captain Cook twice. Both of those appearances
really
have been very good. And both at Caulfield, I think Flemington's really going to suit this horse. I like him here. I think he's backable too at $4.40. I love the way he kept staying on behind Super Titus, who I think is a chance of getting into the cups this year and running really well on a really light weight. So I think that form line in time will prove to be very, very strong. I like Captain Cook here. I think he can take us out on a winning note. The other one I would throw in the quaddie, the only other one, is 14 Hangman.
Oh, I was just about to mention him. You're only going 2
yes.
in the last leg.
That's all we need. Jeez,
no wonder you don't get these things.
It's all we need.
All right. 6 and 14, the only ones in the last leg of the quaddie. It looks a
happy day.
Very, very tough race. And you're coming home with 6 and 14. I'm glad you've thrown Hangman in anyway. Yeah. We're going to take a break. That's Flemington. I want to have a quick look at the races at Rose Hill as well. And then we'll get Sharky's best for the day. Let's get on to Rose Hill. Arcadia Queen. I should have asked Holly.
Yes.
Number one member of the fan club. $1.85. Is that just bank interest?
Should be in that field.
Just too good.
Yeah, she should be in that field, shouldn't she? Zusain's largely
interesting,
unreliable.
He was able to swap the jock swallow. Originally booked Karen McAvoy, thinking that she'd be having a lighter weight. And then once she had a bit more, he's thrown J-Mac on. McAvoy goes on to Zusain in that race.
Her trials have been good. We know the level that she can operate at. I think it's a pretty good race for her to kick off and make an impact in Sydney straight away.
What about Castle Vecchio first up? Richard Litt sounded pretty confident first up over the 1,500. We're getting 280.
I love the horse. I think there's a horse here that might be able to run well at each way odds. Number 8, Edison.
Well, the Bjorn Baker horses are flying at
they
the
are. And this horse did not have any luck whatsoever behind True Detective in the up and coming. I think it's quite a handy little animal here going towards races over a bit of ground. Might end up towards a spring champion in time.
$13 for Edison.
Yeah.
Gee, this Run to the Rose is a fascinating
hot,
race.
Hot, white hot.
Fascinating race. The market's got exceedance into 220 now, which is pretty tight. Bivouac, $4.40. Yes, 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 $5.50. Dawn Passage, $6. And then you're out to Kubrick at $11. Prince Firewise as well. Which way are you leaning here?
What's going on with Yes, Yes, Yes? You're the man tied in there with Bray and the crew. What's happening?
I don't think the horse is flying. It was a wet track first up, the reason that they scratched it. But I honestly don't think that they thought there would be a couple of three-year-olds that have returned in the form of Exceedance and Bivouac.
Exceedance is the one. He'll have Bivouac's measure again. That was a very good win in the San Domenico. As much as I say, oh, we don't think Bivouac handled the wet, I don't think Exceedance was all that at home in it either. Dawn Passage is a really good colt. The Rosebud win was something else from near enough to last. It was a great effort beating Let It Pour, who's got good talent. It's a really, really good race. I think the winner probably goes on and wins the Golden Rose, to be honest.
Interesting SMS here, going back to Arcadia Queen.
Yeah.
First up over 1,300 and then going to come back to the 1,200 for the Everest.
It's interesting. I'm not too worried about the Everest just yet. I'm more worried about her winning tomorrow. I think that's, you know, let's just get her home first up when we can back her and then wait and see what she does on from there.
All right, so Exceedance, best three-year-old in Australia, colt, in your opinion?
Oh, he looks pretty good, doesn't he? If he comes out and beats these tomorrow in this field, I think he can rightfully stake claim to that reputation.
Well, the Golden Rose, he's currently $4. You're getting $2.20 tomorrow. Would you throw a little dart at the $4 or wait and just let him run tomorrow?
Just let him run, I think. Just let him run. Tumbling into those sort of odds in early markets.
Best bet in Sydney?
Best bet in Sydney, away from Arcadia Queen. You know what? I'm going to try something a little bit each way against my one of my favourites, Castelvecchia. I'm going to just try a little each way, Edison.
Edison, $14.
Yeah. We've got De Beer running as well in race four for the
Spicer. Oh, you do
team.
Too?
Yes.
It'll be hard
him
to beat,
up at
it?
The Valley last time. Yeah, he will be. He goes up a few kilos for that win, but I think it's a race that it looks to map fairly well for him, De Beer. He'll be up near enough the speed. He's won on a clockwise track before, so that shouldn't be any excuse for him. I think he'll run really well.
He's into 220.
That's short enough.
It is short, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, but maybe. De Beer might be one of your multis. The anchor of your multis is Morpheville Race 1.
Only Rock of Bascarina.
Only a four-horse field. Exeter was scratched, bolted in yesterday.
It's a nice little race.
It is a good race, four-horse field.
Yeah, Finko's got ability, probably more ground or definitely more ground. Executioner's got talent. Tubby Two Tracks won its only start really nicely. But I think this Rock of Bascarina might be something a little bit better than that grade.
$1.75, the moral at Morfordville. What's your best at Flemington?
I'm going to back Captain Cook in the last race, race 9, number 6.
You're going to wait all the way to the last?
Yeah, and the other race that I'm going to bet in is race 3. I'm going to try Independent Road and Vegas Knight. I think they are grossly over the odds.
Well, good luck. I think Vegas Road, Vegas Knight, I should say, I've been talked into that by Colin Little. He's given a huge spruik despite Barrier 3 at around about $14 as well. Sharky, have a good afternoon today. You're in front of a huge audience. And the first of the internationals have entered quarantine as well. Melbourne Cup waits out during the week. Anything catch your eye from the waits from an international or Australian perspective?
Surprise baby.
That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. All right. The groundswell is mounting for Surprise Baby. Sharky, good luck, mate, over the weekend.
And thank you, Miguel.
Happy shopping for a new wardrobe as well.
Yes, looking forward to that.
Friday Form Focus, punters, if you missed any of it, jump on the website, rsn.net.au. You can download the podcast. We'll put Sharky's tips up there as well. Coming up to the 10 o'clock news, don't forget we are live from Flemington tomorrow, speaking to all the major contenders for Maccabi Diva Stakes Day. After the news, it is the Friday Form segment, and we are heading to Swan Hill with Mark Guest and Ray Huxley.